Good afternoon, everybody. This is Carl McIntyre. I want to play for you a pre-recorded Thanksgiving message I made 14 years ago to get you into the spirit of this Thanksgiving. Thank you and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, wherever you are. Carl McIntyre on this great and glorious day, which comes every fall. And the pilgrims gave it to us. They had the first one. And from the very beginning through all these years, it's been observed by the people of our country, by those of us who fear God, by those of us who are grateful especially for the nation, for the pilgrims who gave it to us. And it is my custom, it has been all these years, to devote this broadcast to these great things. For instance, the Mayflower Compact. I'm going to read it to you. And then, of course, we have the Declaration of Independence with its four references to God. We have then the first 10 amendments of the Constitution of the United States, and we like to talk about especially the first one. But all 10 of them are precious and are born of faith in God and the desire to have a nation where men would be free to serve the living and the true God. And then, of course, we have the hymns, and we have these many poems that have been given to us. I have the proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. I have the prayer of George Washington. I have what George Washington had to say about Thanksgiving, our first president. And in moments like this, we do revert to all these great historic documents that refer to freedom, that refer to the recognition that God Almighty gave us what we have. And finally and foremost is the Bible, the Word of God. And when you turn to the Psalms, there are 150 of them, beginning with Blessed is the Man, that first Psalm, and we do walk in the light of the Lord. And then it concludes with the last five Psalms with a crescendo of thanksgiving and of praise. Nothing like it in all literature, and every one of those Psalms begins with Praise the Lord, which is Hallelujah, and each one of them concludes with Praise the Lord, which is a final great hallelujah. Now it's with these monuments of praise, with these great pillars of righteousness, and with these banners of freedom that we're going to talk about Thanksgiving as it comes to us every single year. We're grateful particularly for this 20th Century Reformation Hour broadcast and the way in which God has given it to us through these years. And every year adds another glory. Every year means we're contributing to the cause of liberty and righteousness in the land. And the way things have developed and the way people are being alerted and the concern that the nation has now for security and problems of this nature, this broadcast, since 1955, has had a great deal to do in helping awaken the consciousness of the country. So we're thankful, and we just praise the name of our God together. Now let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou didst tell us, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Father, we thank Thee that Thou didst tell us that he would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly, thou didst tell us through David, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Bless our president. Be with this land. Turn the hearts of the people back again to the fathers. And we ask that this ministry today, wherever it goes and wherever it's heard in this country or by shortwave around the world, that Thou wilt have the nations look to the United States and the things that Thou hast given us because our founding fathers believed in Thee. Oh, bless Thy name today. We thank Thee for the breath we breathe. We thank Thee for the beds upon which we've slept. We thank Thee for everything that Thou hast put in our mouths as we honor Thee and glorify Thee by knowing that our bodies are indeed the temple of the Holy Spirit since Christ came to dwell in us. Thou hast told us to eschew evil. Thou hast told us to turn away from the ungodly. Thou hast told us, O Lord, to love Thee with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. And we do that. And then Thou hast told us to love our neighbors as we would love ourselves. Father, Thou art good. Thou art great. Thou art our God. This is our prayer now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, whom Thou didst give to redeem us and bring us home to Thee. For Christ's sake, amen. I mentioned the concluding five psalms of the great book, or the Psalter, the hymns of praise. And this is the way 146 begins. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Isn't that magnificent? The total occupancy of our soul and our being with the fact that we have been created and redeemed and that we're here to praise God. Now, put not your trust in princes, nor were to trust God, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. Our help cometh from the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, and we'll get that in just a moment, for it's right here in the next few verses. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. His hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Aren't you thankful on this great Thanksgiving Day that there is such a thing as truth, and that God watches over it and keeps it, and thy word is truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth. And then we read, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Isn't that magnificent? Now that's all in Psalm 146. Now turn into Psalm 147. It's good. It's good to sing praises unto the Lord. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. Now, this is one I'd like to have special attention to. It's verse 4. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. Now, the heavens are expanding and they're beginning to tell us that there's so many stars that man can't even begin to count them. And we have galaxies, some 50 of them, bigger than our Milky Way galaxy. And the heavens have just exploded. And then we have these words, great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I'm especially pleased by the reference there to his understanding being infinite, because now we're reaching out into the heavens and finding out there is no end to them. They seem to be infinite. Somewhere out there, there must be an end to something. But anyhow, we now, at this time in the history of the world, are aware of the heavens as never before, and aren't you thankful? It reminds you of the fact that Jesus said that he would come in the clouds of heaven, that he would call his elect unto him from one end of the heavens to the other. There's going to be an awful lot in the redeemed company that Jesus shed his precious blood for. And so we're thankful for the heavens, and we're thankful for the stars, and we're thankful for all these things. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. And that's what we're doing today. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sings praises on the harp unto our God, who covereth the earth with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Well, that's Psalm 147. You come into Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all ye angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Well, we've finally gotten up to where the hosts are and where the angels are. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Now, that's Psalm 148. And so the thanksgiving continues to arise, and you come to Psalm 149, and we're told to sing a new song. and praise Him in the congregation of the saints. That's why in our church every Thanksgiving we gather at 9 o'clock and we read the Mayflower Compact, we read the President's Proclamation, we read the first 10 amendments of the Constitution of the United States, we take the 4 references to God from the Declaration of Independence, and all of these things just thrill our souls. May I now read you the Mayflower Compact. Now the pilgrims who came over on that flimsy little boat braved the storms of the North Atlantic. They were on their way to Virginia, but they missed it. They landed in Massachusetts, which we now call Plymouth. But before they got off that ship, they adopted this compact, and it has 4 references to God. Now, may I read it to you? In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness thereof, we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod on the 11th of November in the year and reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domino, 1620. Remember the names William Bradford, Miles Standish, John Alden, they're all signed here. My, oh my, you look down through, here's Winslow, and here's Bitteridge, and here's Allerton, and here's Goodman, and here's Fletcher. These are names that are familiar to us all, especially along the east coast of the United States, where you have so many of them enshrined in various monuments or counties or names of cities or things of that sort. But as I read you this Mayflower Compact, you have 4 references to God. First, in the name of God, amen. That's all you need to say. Second, the grace of God, and that's all God has for us. Third, the glory of God. That's what we have for God Himself. And then, ladies and gentlemen, in the presence of God. 4 glorious references to the Almighty God. That's why they got here. That's why they succeeded. And they came for the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our King. Did you ever hear the phrase, for God and country? That's it. Our country must have the blessings of God. You can't separate the two. There's a patriotism born of our Christian faith, and our loyalty to God enables us to be loyal to this great and wonderful land of ours. And so we have the Declaration of Independence with its 4 references to God. And then they produced for us the Constitution of the United States. There are 10 amendments, and I always like to read all of them, but when I come to an hour like this, let's take the first one especially. And I don't know I'll have time to read all 10 of them, but ladies and gentlemen, they are our Bill of Rights. And right now, you know, they're being modified, they're being changed, and the state's moving in with more power over our Christian schools and over the churches, and the humanistic, secularistic accent is ringing the bells of repression and the power of bureaucracy and this sort of things in the land. Number one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There it is. The first liberty is religion. It is to be protected from an establishment by the state. They broke away from all the state churches of England and Germany and France and Spain and Italy and Scandinavia. We were to have nothing to do with the state regulating or directing or interfering with the religious life of the people and their churches. That is being changed. That is being lost. We have courts now that are moving in, humanistic courts, judges that know very little about God, and they have a different concept of society and the responsibility of the state, and we're moving from a state that protects men to a state that takes care of men. We're moving from a state which guards their security to a state that looks after them from the cradle to the grave. We're moving from a state in which the children belong to the parents to a state in which the children belong to the government. These concepts are being shifted. And then we're not going to have any interference with the free exercise of religion. Oh, beloved, the freedom of our churches and the freedom which we've enjoyed in this land. No land like it anywhere. But God gave it to us, and we're thankful for it on this Thanksgiving Day. And then speech is not to be abridged. That is interfered with or conditioned. The press is to be out from under the control of the government. It's to be free. It's to be operated by the people for their own interest. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And we're able to do it, and we have the protection of the police so long as we don't engage in some riotous conduct. But here we are, and we can petition the government for a redress of grievances. But petitions today don't very often get much attention paid to them, you know that? We're so involved in political powers that are interested in protecting themselves and preparing with their handouts and all the robbery that they're engaged in of the treasuries of the people, that petitions really don't get too far. And we're down in a day when the spirit of the pilgrims on Thanksgiving has to reassert and be resurrected in the hearts and the lives of our liberty-loving citizens. That's amendment number one. Now you come on down to the last of the 10 amendments, and you have this. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited to it by the states, are reserved to the states respectfully or to the people. That's decentralization. That puts the power down on the local level. That now is being inverted. And we saw the centralization of power as the income tax gave the government all the money it needed, and they began to drain. If you don't have it in the Ten Amendments, bless your soul, you still have all these marvelous liberties. But again, that field is being invaded, that area is being restrained and restricted, and we're getting less and less liberty, and the Constitution itself is either shriveling up, is being nullified in various ways, and we've got to get back to the Constitution as written and maintain the concepts which are there. And if we do, we'll have the glory that the Lord has bestowed upon us and the manner in which we have been blessed down through these years. I have here the prayer of George Washington. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that Thou wilt keep the United States in Thy holy protection, that Thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that Thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with the charity, humility, and specific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. George Washington, the father of our country, closing his prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, and telling us that unless we follow the example of the divine author of our religion, we cannot expect to be a happy nation. Well, that was in keeping with the Mayflower Compact, in which they came here to advance the Christian faith, but at the same time to grant freedom and liberty to all religions so that they would not be interfered with or in any way damaged by the power of the state. Well, beloved, on this great Thanksgiving, we look back and we see now how the government is moving in through tax pressures and educational standards, as they say, to literally monopolize the education of our country. And when it's in the hands of those who know not God, we're in great danger. Imagine living in a country where you can't read the Ten Commandments in the public schools. Imagine living in a country where you can't even pray to God in the public schools of the nation. This is the situation that's come upon us in these days, and we're turning now afresh back to our churches, back to our local preachers, back to the Christian schools, back to these things where the Bible is honored. And the attempt now to change the Bible and reorganize it and reorient it and redefine it and deal with God and get sexist language into the book and all this sort of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful today that the Bible stands. The Bible is the Word of God. It can never be added to. It can never be detracted from. Its power cannot be restrained. And the message of this book is that men die. The message of this book is that death is the wages of sin. The message of this book is that man goes back to dust and he carries nothing with him when he goes into his grave. The message of this book is that there's no hope, there's no light, there's no promise, there's absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ, whom God sent down here to die for us and to be raised again from the dead on that third day and then to ascend up into heaven. We are thankful for the Bible. We are thankful for Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the forces today that are arising in our nation to defend our faith and to defend our liberty. And we're thankful especially for raising up a great fellowship of Christian churches throughout the world that stand for the faith once delivered to the saints. There is an International Council of Christian Churches formed in 1948. And today there are churches in some 93 nations all over this world. Men believe that the Bible was given that we might have life and salvation, that we might be members of churches where the Word of God is lifted up as the standard of truth and righteousness and salvation. We're grateful today also that in our country the forces of apostasy and evil are being exposed as never before. The National Council of Churches is in more difficulty and trouble than it's ever been before. People are realizing that their so-called social gospel has turned out to be a Marxist program. We're thankful that the World Council of Churches is being exposed, and even the secular institutions are crying out about the way in which they've been helping the Soviet cause and the way in which they've made Marxism a part of the gospel that they're preaching. We're thankful that God has His remnants, that God has His faithful, and we're waiting now for that blessed and glorious moment when Jesus Christ shall come in the clouds of heaven, the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be with our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sinners, the pilgrims brought the Bible. Wicked men, wherever you are, God offers you His grace and His redemption. Let this not only be a day of thanksgiving, but let it be a day of rejoicing and of praise to God. Yes, our homes, our families, our children, and we long that they shall have the faith of their fathers and maintain the same witness that they've sought to maintain in the churches and in the land. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the promises of God are unto us and to our children, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are the children of Abraham. We are among those whom God has given the covenant promises that we shall be His for all the ages of the ages. And because we have these things, we can say with the Apostle Paul when he wrote the church in Thessalonica, "Ye turn to God, ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for His Son from heaven." When I give you a Thanksgiving message with the gospel like this, and we go back to the Mayflower Compact, we go back to the Bill of Rights, we go back to these great hymns of praise, the last five psalms of the book of the Psalms, and then I come and say to you, dear people, wherever you are, thank God that He's given you a 20th century Reformation Hour broadcast, and that Dr. McIntyre's been sitting here at these microphones since 1955. And the impact of this ministry across this nation is beyond our understanding, and we'll only know it and see it when Jesus comes. And now we look forward in these next few weeks to the greatest event of the Christian calendar, because it has to do with giving. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so we come with the emphasis now that everything you have is a gift from God. Be thankful for it. Let's come with the recognition that God gave His only begotten Son that we might give. We might return our gifts in praise and thanksgiving to God. The prayer of this broadcast through these years has been that we would be able to reach 1,000 radio stations. And if you were thankful, as we must be, you would say, "Doctor, that's the way I feel about it." And when you bring us a summary like this of the history and the background and the faith and the Constitution and the Compact, this is what the nation needs to hear. And by the help and the grace of God, we're supporting this ministry that God's given to you, your patriotic accent, your faith in God, your love of righteousness, your wooing of the sinners, your building up of the saints, and your great and glorious hope that Jesus is coming soon to raise the dead and gather all of us together again in the clouds with Himself. Also, as we emphasize this giving, since 1947 we've had a great Christmas offering for the poor and the needy of a special category. And this category is that over the world we've got these churches and these groups that have left and are leaving the World Council of Churches because of its communism, because of its turning away from the Word of God. And when the dear ones have done this, they've suffered. They've lost churches, they've lost buildings, they've lost schools, they've suffered. And we've come in with an offering in which we take up evangelists and orphans, and we help with the churches that are lost and broken down and all these things. And I'm asking you on this Thanksgiving Day to join me now in the weeks that are just before us, and let's make Christmas, this year's Christmas, the most fruitful, the most blessed one that we've ever had. And Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Thanksgiving leaves us with the glorious challenge of giving to Jesus Christ. That's all. Happy Thanksgiving, and may this be repeated again and again for Jesus' sake, and may God keep our country. Amen.